Take your Bibles, turn to Romans 8. You can put your finger in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. As you look at what was going on, and you look at people who went through the tornadoes 10 days ago and then went through them again Friday night, there's an interesting perspective. One of the perspectives is, thank God I live in South Dakota. Another perspective is, what would I do if I lived there? And another perspective is, I wonder how much my insurance will cover. And then there's God's perspective that says, I'll take care of you. Understand something very definite. What you go through doesn't define who you are. And so sometimes we like to label people as they must have done something wrong, or things were going wrong, or their life isn't right, and therefore this stuff came. Wrong conclusion. We need to look at these things with hearts of compassion, mercy, and grace, like we would want people to look at us if we were going through it. I sat there yesterday morning as I was riding a bike at the exercise center and thought to myself, wow. Did we miss the rapture, and is this a tribulation period or what? I didn't think that. But it's almost end times things happening worldwide. And so what I'd like to talk to us about this morning is, how do we not only go through things ourselves, but how do we help people going through these things? You know, there are people out there saying, well, just pull yourself together, you'll get through it. Wrong attitude. There are times, no matter how hard you try, you can't pull yourself together. It takes God. And so we come to a place, and we know these verses. We've heard them over and over and over again. But before I get to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I just want to go over this for a few moments. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I want to advise you of something, just direct you in something. When you start seeing things that just absolutely bring travail in your spirit, pray in the Spirit. Pray for this area. Pray for people that are going there to help. It's very interesting because I hear people saying, well, the government is going to go in there and build stuff and do stuff. You ever stop and think our government is bankrupt? How's the government going to do it? They can't even fly the Blue Angels over a commencement exercise at West Point. God has to do something. And we are God's children. We can help. So pray in the Spirit. Get on your face. It's devastating to see these things in our country. For we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, say, I know, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that. How do we know it? We know it because God said it, and we know it through practical experience. We understand that. And so we come to a place where we put what we know together with what we can do to help. Many of you can't leave to go to Oklahoma, but you can sure pray for them. We can sure get on our face before God. Because you know something? We don't know what tomorrow holds around here. And so we come to a place of compassion. We come to a place of understanding that these people did nothing to deserve what happened. And it's not our job to inform them of what they did wrong. Jesus talked about something very interesting, because you'll always hear someone bring condemnation into it. But Jesus, in Luke 13, if you want to go there for a moment, it's very interesting. So as you look at somebody going through a hard time, remember the words of Jesus. It's a good point, isn't it? Verse 1, there were present at the season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answered and said, "Do you suppose these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans, that they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no." Same thing, but unless you repent. He didn't point fingers at people because they went through hard times. What should the attitude of believers be? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And Jesus begins by, or Paul begins in verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Father of mercies and God of all comforts, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God." How many of you have gone through something where you needed comfort? You just needed a word of encouragement. You just need somebody to walk with you. You just needed somebody to care. You just needed somebody to say, "We'll go through it with you." And that's where God places us. the privilege of helping people. Because if you've gone through a time where you've experienced the comfort of the Holy Spirit, you're in a place where you can help someone else who goes through that. Not looking for any glory, not looking for anything, just saying, hey, I'm here. I'm here. It's the Word of God walking with legs to go encourage and help and comfort and strengthen. You went through something, you were comforted. You were strengthened. As Carol was saying, somebody called, somebody prayed, somebody did something else. What's our responsibility to that? Carol's going to help somebody else every day. She goes and cooks. She goes and does other stuff, not building up Carol, but looking at what we can do to minister and assist and help people. Ray, who God has healed of cancer, can help other people with cancer. We have a young man. Well, I don't know how old is Tommy. 50? 50? Oh, is that old? We have a middle-aged man. Who was just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. People can reach out and help him. Reach out and touch him. Don't protect yourself from getting involved with people who are hurting. Don't protect yourself from taking the second mile and stepping into what's going on, because those are the people that are open for answers. They're open for encouragement. Some of them want to talk. Some of them are looking for an opportunity to get their life right with God. And we need to be prepared, and we need to be ready, and we need to be willing to take the risk. Understand this, and we've said it before, but every time that you are willing to love someone, you are willing to get hurt. But it's worth the love. It's worth the risk. It's worth taking the chances. Let's break this down a little bit. Blessed be the God, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us. The word is very interesting when you break it down. It's parakletos, which actually means one who is called alongside to help you. One that's called alongside to bring you strength and help, and it's actually speaking words of comfort. And you may look at it and say, well, how does the Holy Spirit speak words of comfort to you individually as he speaks from within you and through other people? So when you were going through your difficult season, or even that evil day we talked about last week, when you were going through that, God was speaking to you through his Holy Spirit and speaking to you through someone else. It's kind of interesting. We don't hear this very much. But what is the purpose of the gift of prophecy, or words of knowledge, or words of wisdom, the vocal gifts? What is the purpose? I believe we can put them three together and find the answer in 1 Corinthians 14. If you want to go back there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 3. Now, he's not talking about the prophet or the Old Testament prophet. He's talking about the gift of prophecy. But he who speaks, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. You're not chewing people out. You're not tearing them down. You're speaking edification, exhortation, and comfort. When someone speaks a prophecy in the church, that's the purpose of it. A prophet and the gift of prophecy are two different areas. But when the gifts of the Spirit of prophecy is used in the church, it's to build up. The word edification is like Kirk taking a hammer and one nail and a board and building his house. By the time he's done, he's hit two nails. The word edification here means to build up, to encourage. The word exhortation is very much alike. As you look it up, it's a little different in the Greek. It's still para, which means alongside. You've heard of para church ministries, like youth youth works. They come in and they work with churches. They work with believers. So that word para, when you see it in the Greek, it means alongside. The word encouragement or exhortation means to come to a place where you're assisting people. You're encouraging them. You're consoling them. You're walking alongside of them. And that's what prophecy does. It encourages people. I like to say it urges you on. You may feel like throwing in the towel. Somebody comes and speaks to you through the Spirit. They're encouraging you. They're urging you on. They're assisting you. And then the word comfort is one again called along, parakletos, one called along. And that word in the Greek, simply put together with it, talks about somebody called along to speak encouragement to you. How many didn't go visit somebody sometime when they were going through a hard time because you didn't know what to say? How many heard of somebody's wife dying, child dying, and you stayed away? I just don't know what to say. When you don't know what to say, don't say anything. But when you don't know what to say, ask the Holy Spirit what to say. Allow the Spirit of God to speak through you. He's more than willing. But the key to our life in Christ is that people need to hear and people need to see how much we love them. How much you care. Somebody said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Kirk had that revelation about getting out and being seen. So they go to the park and they pick up garbage. Go to New Orleans and pick up garbage. Wasn't quite enough around here, so they took a road trip. Go to Oklahoma and pick up. We got some spiritual garbage. But you do it. Why? Because you're not doing it for the people. You're doing it for Jesus. And people see Christ in you, and they'll say, why in the world would you go from the northern edge of South Dakota to Oklahoma City, which is 950 miles or 900 miles or 850. Judy would know. She maps it out. She tells me how far we have to go when we get to Oklahoma City, when we go to Texas. I know Dallas is 1,000. Because when I get 200 and I want to find out how far we have to go, I know we have 800 miles to go. Isn't that great? Get 200. Get to Sioux Falls. Get to Sioux City. Oh, we still got 1,000 miles, 800 miles. Oh, we'll be there in a couple hours. But God is telling His church right now, and He's told it for a long time, demonstrate my love by what you're doing. Demonstrate my love by how you're living. Just do it. Whether it's your neighbor or whether it's somebody out of town or somebody in the next time zone, show them my love through you, because that has a lasting effect when you don't have to do something, but you still do it because you feel God leading you there. It's pretty amazing. Because God has a plan to show to other people His comfort through us. To let them see. To let them see His love, His grace, and His mercy through flesh. And it works. It works. We come to a place where we get out of our box. God leads us to people, and we take the risk of telling them how much He loves them. You know, I've only had it once where I tried to help somebody and they said, "Don't do it." That was my neighbor when we first moved into the trailer court. His name was Dave. Neat guy. So I'm over there showing the love of God and mowing his yard. He says, "Please don't do that." And I said, "What?" He says, "Your mower and mine don't balance out." "I mow mine, you mow yours. Yours is higher or mine is higher, and it looks like we fall off the planet." I said, "Okay, take your own mower and do it yourself." No, I didn't. I made one mistake. I said, "Okay, Dave, I'll do it. I'll do the whole thing." And for 15 years, I think I did the whole thing. And he was willing to let me. And I didn't have a rider. Some of you people should have bought me a rider. But we became friends. There was only one thing left to do. That was to blow his snow too. And so Mr. George next to us bought a snowblower because we were shoveling his thing. He said, I want you to use this. So we blew him out and blew us out and blew Dave out and blew the other guy. What was his name? Huh? Dennis out. It worked. You know, it's not difficult to be nice to people. It's kind of fun. You know what happens now?
Dave does the dishes.
Dave does the dishes. I haven't mowed a lawn for a couple years. Just amazing. Our grass just disappears. Robert Schuller, when he started the Crystal Cathedral, had a philosophy. It was simply this: find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. every one of us can do something to help, comfort, strengthen, and encourage people. It's not time to just become introverted. It's time to spread our wings. You may say, Pastor, what's this all about? It's just about there's a lot of hurting people in our region with nobody to turn to. And I would dare say that some of those people don't know Jesus, and through you and me, they can be introduced to Jesus Christ. Because someday they're going to say, why are you doing this? And you can say, hey, we love you and we love God. And we just want to be a good neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Anyone that God sends me to. Anyone. It's not hard to be a good neighbor, even if they're 10 miles away. How many of you love God? How many of you have been called according to His purpose? We've got purpose. Purpose is a life designed by God. And the things that you're going through so that you don't just back away and say, well, I got this issue and I got this issue and I got this issue. I can't get through it. You love God. You have God's design. You have God's purpose. Things are going to work out for you. And you can be a living testimony that because they worked out for me, they're going to work out for you. It works. It works. And we come to a place of just saying, man, how exciting to invest our lives in people. How exciting. Because you are the light of the world. Just simply as you're praying, just say, God, send somebody to me, or send me to somebody. Those five names you're working on need Jesus Christ. How can you minister to them besides pray for them? Pretty interesting. It's a great life. It's a great life in the Lord. And it brings glory to Jesus. That's what it is. Got our eyes open. Willing to pay a price. It's beautiful. It's simply beautiful. Stand with me, will you? Father, I thank you for this group of people, their love for you and their love for one another and their love for people around us. Thank you that we could just be here today and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name. Before you go, just want to add a little addendum to this. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Now let me think about that for a moment. All things work together for good, so I should give thanks for everything that works together for good. I believe it's deeper than just saying, if I have a flat tire, thank you for the flat tire, God. I don't think that's what he had in mind. I think he had in mind that his body should walk with an attitude of thanksgiving. Not even focus what's on happening, but focused on the fact that thanksgiving is praise. Thanksgiving expresses faith. Thanksgiving allows us to be in a different realm than just looking at that tire and saying, I don't have a jack. I can't find my jack in these new vehicles. Or like Ray, his jack is all filled with dirt, and Big Dave and I spent hours trying to get it out. You know, it's just one, that's not what God is saying to be thankful. I believe God's telling us to walk in a spirit of thanksgiving, an attitude of thanksgiving, because that attitude of thanksgiving expresses faith in God. And as you help someone else and comfort someone else and encourage something else, and you've gone through that with an attitude of thanksgiving, they'll see the attitude of thanksgiving in you. And that'll encourage them. Do you ever have a pity party? Do you ever feel sorry for yourself? I have. But that breaks that power, that prolongs that pity party as we come with thanksgiving. Amen? Amen. Smile now.